The Sentai Review, episode 103, Z-O. Alright, so another Wednesday is another Sentai, unless you're on the podcast, then you're getting this at like, you know, whatever day. I had to move my mic because it was like there was a cord and it was on the mic and then it was bothering me, so I had to go under the cord and then wrap around, and then now I got my mic back, and that's why there's a strange pause, and that's why I'm rattling. Rattling. So, William Bush, Reploid Bill.
Scott Action Jackson,
Shane McCree, Proto Guy.
Can we do that again? Can you guys speak again? Because your spikes did seem awful low.
Once again, I am Shane McCree, Proto Guy.
There we go. Look, that's nice.
Almost like the mics weren't tested.
Hey, how about you shut up?
And the website.
Hey guys, I know you're about to get your podcast on, so I'll be quick. If at any time you feel like dropping your own opinion into what we're talking about, head on over to FandomNight.com and all of the contact information for every single one of our shows, including the one you're about to watch, is there. All right, guys, I'll leave you alone.
Okay, so now we're on the mics.
Are you sure?
I'm positive. I plugged the thing in.
We saw everything, Bill. For you listeners... Bill sometimes forgets to plug in a certain cord. This happens more often than it should. So,
can I get a drink? I don't care what. Bring me something.
Maybe some liquor.
No, don't bring me that. I do care about that. Okay. So, anyways, we have been promising to continue these reviews on the actual shows. And we're supposed to be on Zio. And it has been a continuous problem to get some people to watch these shows.
Oh, boy.
So my original promise was that everybody will have actually seen the show before we talk about the show. I can't keep that promise because you would be sitting here with only two people.
Yeah, and there's one other slight issue, too. Some of the early editions of the Power Rangers were in two volumes. Future ones... complete series.
That's going to be a nightmare.
Yeah.
Once we've been reviewing these by the DVD releases. So once the DVD releases go 50 episodes, one thing.
Yeah, one full season.
You're going to need to watch. You can't get through 25. I'm going to be expecting you to kill 50.
For stuff like that, we might have to still cut it down to two parts.
Now, if anybody's having problems getting the subtle hint that Bill is dropping, he is talking to me. And I will explain real quick. I get distracted quite easily. And I did watch some Rangers this week.
Let me put a little bit of relaxation here on this point. It's not just you.
No.
I couldn't get Nick to watch it. And Seth was like, well, what site is it? I'll just watch all 25 in a day. I'm like, Seth, man, unless you are a hardcore Rangers fan, that is going to be a rough watch.
And the slight issue I have is I have the full series sets. So it's like I have to watch halfway through, try to watch halfway through without going over.
Yeah.
I was going to do what Seth did. I already had a little bit of a head start. With him, because I was watching Zio one day because I was bored. But I needed a lot of hours to catch up, so I've only watched some of the episodes, so like I said, I get distracted.
So, we have a Zio.
Oh.
We're going to go
ahead. That's not me being negative. We're going to talk about what's good and bad about this series, and I do have some good and bad points. Normally we go through these episodes. We're going to try that again, but if we just end up talking about the series in general, I'm not going to hold it against us, because after a while, trying to remember every episode's name and what happened gets rough. I remember what happened. I watched the 25 episodes, but putting every single one...
to an exact episode name might be rough, but...
Well, the biggest problem
here
is...
Here we go. Step one, episode one and two starts our very first conversation, a Zio beginning.
Oh, yes. And how do we begin this episode? By a flashback of the command center exploding.
Which would be important if you decided to skip the aliens.
I recommend you do.
And oh, and slow motion running from the Rangers.
That's right. That's right.
We can't believe this happened. Blah 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 blah.
That's actually what they said in the actual. They literally ran around and been like, "I can't believe blah 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 blah."
Here's the thing. I actually think this is going to have to become another series. I've been thinking about this for a while. I would like to go through the entire legacy and talk one episode at a time, origin. Because sometimes there's two episodes to put the origin down to start the series. Sometimes there's one. Like, Power Rangers got one, Mighty Morphin.
And
that was their origin. And then it was over. All the ninja and everything else doesn't count. That was one group. That was Mighty Morphin. Zio is the second group. We'd review their origin.
And you know what? That would actually be a little bit easier for myself because I have to go back and watch later ones. But up until the newest series, Ninja Steel, because it's not on Netflix, I have seen every American Power Rangers origin from Mighty Morphin to Dino Charge.
Well, this origin
has some super slow-mo running.
There's, they run in slow motion, then, okay.
Oh, we have Rita and Zed celebrating on the moon when they get attacked.
Okay, yes, I would like to hold off on talking about the machines and what happened to Zed. Let's talk about the Rangers piece of origin first. First off, they go underneath the command center.
When they find the Zeo crystals first.
Yes, they do. They find the Zeo crystals, and it makes them go underneath the command center. And then the command center rebuilds itself?
Yeah, that's a bit strange.
There's a couple of reasons I think this is strange. One, weren't we already told that there's an underground part to the command center? And hasn't Billy already been there?
How many underground sections are there to this command center?
Well, here's the thing. If Billy already went there before and saw Alpha walking around, working on the White Ranger, right? And then you have a Zordon that was evidently down there. This has happened already during the White Ranger series thing, when they brought him in. And they went under, and then they went through a green goop.
Yeah, the green goop.
Which I'm guessing took them back to the command center that was just rebuilt from magic...
Magic
tech? Oh, and by the way, I will be debunking this little theory that I always hear in this series.
What, magic against technology?
That's bullshit. That's bullshit. It's not true. It's not right. And just because Linkara says it's right doesn't make it right. Just because that's the way he sees it, this series, from start to end, is tech versus tech. Just because they used the Zeo crystal to get the power doesn't mean they didn't use tech the whole damn series. The Morpher is tech. They use satellites and shit like that. They're constantly talking about, we have to reverse the frequency on the blah, 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 and all this other shit. It's a bunch of tech guy Rangers versus, but I think it's a different theory.
The Mighty Morphin, it was all tech, too, against...
That was tech versus magic. I will agree with that. But this new series, I think it's a different concept altogether. I don't think it's magic versus tech and the good guys are using magic.
No.
I think it's controlled technology versus runaway technology.
Yeah.
The Machine Empire, whatever that is, it's technology that went out of control and the AI evidently wiped out the original. Somebody built them. Something built them. And whatever built them, they annihilated it, and then they spread through the galaxy like a plague, making themselves at that point.
But the Rangers' powers have some magic.
So did Mighty Morphin. Mighty Morphin pulled from some mystical energy called the Morphin Grid.
The Morphin Grid that has never been fully described?
It never will. It's the Speed Force. We don't talk about what it is. We just simply reference that it is. It's an energy. Nuff said. Nobody's allowed to describe it any further than that,
and
because
why?
One day we might need a Deus Ex Machina plot device.
So it's one of those cases where we probably need to know, but apparently the plot hole says we shouldn't look.
Well, we don't need to know, just like the Speed Force. Because that way, when DC fucks up their continuity, they can just use the Speed Force to reset time or redevelop something or bring something back or change rules that they've laid down. And the same goes for the Morphing Grid. One day, after you've destroyed all these Power Rangers and gotten rid of all these powers, but you know that this big giant war with a bunch of guys coming in is going to happen, you might need to fix the Morphing Grid so that all the Power Ranger powers come back, and then you could do later episodes that are coming down the road. You see, we're not supposed to explain it. It's just supposed to be our Deus Ex Machina plot device for future fuck-ups.
So look, here's the plot hole.
Basically, what they want you to do is not ask questions and just enjoy what you're watching.
Right. Which is customary to a lot of these different shows. But I actually think that it is not good guys using magic versus tech. I actually think it's controlled tech, because everything the Rangers use is controlled. It's very stabilized. It's very, we have control of this tech. It has just enough power to do what we want it to do, but we have to make it do it. It's not automatic. The Empire is runaway tech. Something built that Empire. Years ago, something gave life to the AI that spawned the Empire. The Empire must have killed whatever made it and came here. It's been spreading through the galaxy and developing itself, like the Matrix. The outside of the Matrix show when the Empire and the robots make themselves now. You get the idea. Yeah. But that's what I see here. I do not believe that it's Lin Kara's theory. Regardless, they go under the fucking command center to go through a green goop.
Yeah, the lower command center itself.
Let's just be honest. They went to the basement.
They go to green goop.
Yeah, I know.
There's the green goop room.
And the green goop room sends them to somewhere, which I'm guessing is the command center that was just rebuilt, though I'm confused why.
Or a secondary command center.
And now later on, just to put this out there, when that command center will later be destroyed by Divatox, why didn't they just go downstairs? There's an area underneath the command center that Billy found all those years ago where Alpha and Zordon were in a different command center working on a White Ranger. Why don't they go there?
Bill, plot hole.
Oh, yeah.
Don't worry about it. Don't worry about the plot
hole. Stop. Don't view.
No plot hole.
Plot hole.
Power Rangers is nothing but plot hole.
My mistake. Sorry.
Plot holes on top of plot holes on
top
of plot holes.
Apologize. So, okay. They go down there and they're told that, hey, we got Zeo powers, but there's only five of these motherfuckers, not six.
And there's six of you.
So,
Billy, being the great guy he is, decides to give his Zeo crystal to Tanya.
Now, what does that really mean? That means Billy's been having problems with the production staff and may leave at any time. So they don't want him in a Power Ranger costume. Because they've already had that problem before, where three Rangers left abruptly during filming, and they didn't know what the fuck to do, so they made up a stupid-ass storyline with a sword that transferred energies and created a plot hole that will be argued the rest of our lives with all Power Rangers fans across continuity.
If those Rangers wouldn't have left abruptly like they did, they would have done the same transfer that Kimberly did with Kat.
Right.
Just hand over the coin. Now you got the power.
So instead, what they did was they told David, you're not going to be a Ranger in this series. That's my best guess as to what was really going on. Because by now, I think that he was suffering from his depression, and I think you can see it in some of his acting. He's not acting quite. David is not a horrible actor, okay? He's not a fucking high-class, going-to-change-the-world kind of actor, but he's not a bad actor. And there are some episodes in here where he really seems down, and you can kind of see it coming through in his performance.
I've never seen it quite a bit in the series.
That's what I mean. And by now, they keep calling him faggot and everything like that. From what I understand, that was a normal term on stage where they would just directly call him a faggot, like, to his face. And I guess he kind of got tired of that. Like, I guess they would call his co-hosts in and ask very difficult personal questions, like, behind his back about how they saw his orientation, his sexual orientation and everything. And I guess he was suffering from depression, and what caused him to leave was he got to the point where he was literally considering killing himself.
Yep.
David was on massive hard time. So what I think really happened here was the studio made him not a ranger in the writing because they knew that things were going a certain way and that he was not a guaranteed actor. That's my guess as to why he got rid of his powers.
Once he gave up his Zeo crystal to Tanya, he became...
We're going to talk about Tanya right now.
Oh, let's talk about Tanya real quick.
Let's talk about Tanya right now.
Tanya, the girl who was from Africa.
Africa in the fucking past.
Yes.
Okay? Hardcore past.
Now, guys, I will remember earlier in the episode when they said that they recapped the command center being destroyed, and that's if you needed to see it in case you skipped Alien. There is a reason... When I told you guys to skip that because that series is bad, I wasn't lying. That series is awful. But the end of it is important because you were with Aisha. And all of a sudden it's Tanya. And you're going to be asking, where'd Aisha go? Well, Aisha and Tanya swap places.
Yeah.
Tanya may be the single greatest genius in the history of ever.
Oh.
We'll explain real quick. She was from the past where there's no technology.
Yeah.
She adapted.
She went from sticks and cloths to science, computers, and morphing grids.
And throughout the series, a lot more, too.
She becomes bilingual. She learns different martial arts. Every other episode, she's like, they're teaching me a new kata today. She literally is a straight A fucking student who's not only a straight A student, she's tutoring fucking algebra.
So
sticks and cloths one day.
So
tomorrow, tutor algebra, straight A motherfucking student at Angel Grove High. Either their educational system is ass.
Let's just say that Tanya, if time travel was possible, and we took someone like Abraham Lincoln, who was alive in the 1800s, and brought him to today's society.
Oh, he's dead.
And
he's
the
dead.
Next day, he adapted like that.
We're not given an idea of time. The very next episode, she has a boyfriend who's like the captain of the baseball team, and she's teaching him algebra. I'm not saying it's impossible for some cloth stick toting African tribe member to know algebra necessarily.
You know what?
But then she's also the best in the computer class, except for the dude that's like, she understood email. My fucking grandma still doesn't understand email.
Let's talk about, I have a theory, and the theory is...
No, here's the answer. Stop. Don't view that plot
but
hole.
But this plot hole might have a slight explanation.
What, the morphing grid?
Exactly.
Now,
the second she morphed.
Deus Ex Machina morphing grid, we've discussed it before.
Because they
memories,
said in Mighty...
powers, and talents of people that came before you are obviously
passed on. Mighty Morphin, when they morphed for the first time and they jumped into their Zords, they already knew how... Billy even said it. He already knew how to freaking pilot it.
Actually,
the memories
of Ashley when she was around, she did touch her crystal.
Aisha.
Yeah.
Aisha, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And then
yeah.
when she handed off to Tanya.
There's a possibility that, yeah.
Some of the knowledge might have carried
it's a
over.
Possibility.
This is my only possible explanation for what I see in this series because Tanya makes no fucking sense. She should have been the biggest fish out of water story in the series. They would have had to have re-educated her on everything.
Except she spoke English.
She was wearing clothes.
Like most people do.
Like most people do. But do most people do in her time where she came from, where she lived 16 years already?
Probably
no.
not. No.
Most people were running around in fucking cloths. Like fucking weird skirt things and... And fucking, yeah, butt flaps from what I just heard in the background. Yeah. I'm telling you, this
This character should have been the biggest fish out of water story ever.
And I think
when they said, by the way, we have to go to school now, she was like, she was some sort of Indian-esque tribal people, tribes member or something, wasn't she?
And yet she's instantly going to class there.
And she's instantly like, oh, I get this. Here, let me read this other language. I know where all my classes are, and I'm a straight-A student tomorrow. By the way, the baseball guy loves me.
Morphing Grid.
I'm probably very different from anything he's ever fucking known in his entire life.
Morphing Grid, plot hole,
and then
he turns out
to be a douchebag.
And he's a prick, by the way. Fuck
yeah,
him.
Yeah, one of the episodes I seen, Adam was training with her. And she was actually doing really well.
She learns with everybody.
Mm-hmm.
She's like a hardcore genius prodigy.
Because what makes sense.
She learns a new martial art every fucking day.
Because until the addition of an old ranger in this series, when we'll get to that eventually. Adam, in my opinion, is the second best fighter on the team.
Yeah.
Because Tommy is
though his character makes very little sense, because Adam is very much a martial artist, and the ranger, who he is, the Green Ranger, is a boxer.
Haven't seen Sentai.
He does a bunch of power punches and shit like that, and even has a boxing episode dedicated to him.
Oh yeah, we'll probably get to the boxing episode. Yeah.
So it's very obvious that Power Ranger is more fluent in boxing than he is in Kiki Wiki Kick.
I like Adam a lot, so he's the second best fighter on the team.
Right.
And because Tommy has to be number one, he's the leader now.
So let's.
Well, no, he's always been the leader for a while now.
So let's get our next part out of the way. Let's talk the Machine Empire and Zed running away.
Okay. If the listeners listened to one of our previous episodes that actually went up not too long ago, we talked about our favorite Rangers, what our favorite colored Ranger was. What our favorite villain was. And as you know, I didn't put Zed as my favorite, because Season 2 Zed is awesome. Season 3 onward is not awesome. This scene is not awesome. There's nothing awesome.
Well, them celebrating their victory is awesome.
Let's talk about Zed real quick. What is Zed supposed to be?
Rita grabbed him by the Z. That ring a bell, Shane? Rita grabbed him by the Z and said, "Come on, dummy, let's go."
What is Zed supposed to be? When he first showed up...
The Emperor of all evil. I, Lord Zed, Emperor of all that I see.
And yet,
oh, fuck, that's a robot. I'm out.
Yeah, and yet the Machine Empire shows up and he's like, oh, God, let's get out of here.
When he first showed up, Rita was afraid of him.
Right.
Everybody was afraid of Zed. Because Zed was basically kind of like a problem solver. If I have to show up, I'm going to get this shit done.
Right.
And actually, for a while, he was
getting stuff done.
Yes.
The White Ranger is what threw the cog in his battle plan. He was like, I can't get around this fucking thing. And still he ended up beating them, because he still managed to take out the second wave of Zords, the Thunder Zords.
That's with help with Rito.
But he did still do it.
True. Because he was under Zed's command. So,
right.
Yes.
Yeah, and then we still have the common argument that if Zed just would have went down there instead of being a little bitch, he could have zapped that Zord into nothingness with one Zed bolt.
So
not even go on about Serpentera.
And let's not even talk about Serpentera that could have just landed on the planet at any time and this could have been done.
Yeah.
Instead of
when the
out of
Machine
gas,
Empire attacks the Moonosphere, they're running away. Rita suggests that they
to her father's.
Which is Master Vile. Master Vile and Zed do not get along.
And Zed's like, no!
This is a really bad...
How come Zed couldn't go down fighting?
If Zed is supposed to be as powerful as he claims he is...
Three robots, by the way, because that's all we fucking see... Three robots shoot at a building, and they can't even blow the building up. They just make it shake, by the way. The palace is still fucking there.
What? and he
with
never,
a for sale sign.
He couldn't have put out that fucking wand out the window and blew down some jet fighters or something.
I would have done it.
Even if they would have made him be overwhelmed by sheer numbers, where he was like, I swear to you, this isn't over, and he'd have just teleported out. And we'd have been left ambiguous as to where he went. I'd have been fine with that.
He kind of said that, though. He said that it wasn't over.
Yeah, later on we'll get to see Winnebago Zed. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
Listen, Zed's character continuously declines. That is why he could not be my favorite villain. That's why Rita was never my favorite villain. Now, Bandora, on the other hand, that's a scary bitch.
Right.
That's why she was my favorite villain. Bandora would have looked at those machines and be like, fuck you!
She would have tried!
She would have fought them. Because of her attitude. From the amount of episodes I've seen of Super Sentai, I saw her attitude. When Burai, who was this monster fucking ranger, tried to fuck with her, she was like, bye, bitch.
Right.
Look, I took out the Green Ranger. Why can't you guys do it?
Yeah, she did it in one staff swing.
Yeah.
He was like, take this, bitch. And she was like, what the fuck? That's it. You're dead.
Because she teleports, she's like, bye. Behind you. Bye.
Right.
Off my palace,
bitch.
She just
turns into a big giant, and she's like, fucking staff. And he's like, oh, shit. And falls all the way to Earth. He's dead as shit.
She would have wrecked the Machine Empire. I hate the Machine Empire. The reason why I have problems with Zio is because I don't like the villains.
Here's one thing I like about the Machine Empire. I do have to give them a massive plus.
What's that?
When they lose, they don't throw weird bitch fits or talk about headaches or something like that. They simply say shit like, huh, well, we know that doesn't work. And they formulate another idea. Or they say, lucky shot.
To be fair, since they're robots, I don't believe they're programmed to do gimmicky dancing and whining.
I mean, I remember a few episodes where they placed the blame on the guy who made the monster bigger.
Right, but
so.
They never sound like Zed and Rita. I have a headache, you morons! I didn't fail, you failed!
Actually,
I'm
from the kid robot, yes.
I'm going to roll on the ground and kick and punch the floor.
King Mondo will blame everybody around him before he blames himself.
I've watched a lot of episodes where when it finishes, he'll be like, well, that was a useless piece of tech, or something like that, and he'll just kind of move on, like it's time to formulate another idea.
The biggest whiner of that family is Prince Sprocket.
Right, but he's a little kid, and I forgive that.
He's a little kid robot, and he does throw fits.
If I can deal with Gohan for fucking 4.5 seasons, I can deal with Sprocket.
Yes.
Oh, nope. And when Rita and Zed are leaving, Rita realizes, hey, what about Goldar and Rito? They're down on Earth with amnesia.
They have amnesia. Are we done with the Robot Empire?
One quick question. This is probably that one thing that we won't view the plot hole. If Master Vile is supposed to be this scary motherfucker,
he literally says, oh, the Machine Empire, they're the only force more evil than me. Yeah, I'll leave the key under the rock or whatever. You guys don't wake me when you come in.
I'm beginning to wonder, maybe the villain should stop saying that they're the most evil.
Because obviously there's always one other dude just around the moonosphere.
There's one person that I remember, and he's in space, that I believe is a scary motherfucker. And when we get to space, we'll explain the weird rock guy.
Twice.
Yeah.
Because we have to talk about him in the movie first, and then we have to talk about the costume that they stole to make a different guy who's basically the same fucking guy.
Yeah.
I just noticed that Master Vile, you know, that, you know, super evil guy.
Okay, yeah.
He's like...
Sure, he's got a nice punny name.
The Machine Empire... Oh, no. I'm like, come on, guys. Fucking kick their ass.
Do something.
You have a fucking space witch.
No, what we did was we got the Tengus, they carried our luggage, and we GTFO. And Rita grabbed Zed by the Z. I just want you to know.
The Tengus, like the putties, the Tengus also started to decline. When they first showed up, they beat the hell out of the Rangers. Then
Just like the putties, the Rangers are like, huh, they're actually not that strong. Let's beat their ass.
Right.
The Tengu, aren't they supposed to be some kind of, like, badass warrior?
Oh, they're better than fucking bee guys without hands.
Well, yeah, it's true.
All they do is take up space, poop on your ship, eat your food, and they can't do any form of labor for your kingdom.
I might as well throw in cheese sandwiches, too, since I'm putting the images together.
Dude.
And they'll eat your cheese sandwiches, and you got nothing for your 40-day teleport.
Like I said, the hardest part of Zio is not the boring-ass episodes, because every Ranger series has boring-ass episodes. Mighty Morphin Western Rangers? That's fucking stupid.
Dang!
I do not like the Machine Empire. I've never liked them. Even as a kid, I didn't like them. I had problems with Zio getting through it when I was a kid because even though Zed was a moron later on, he was awesome. These are just robots.
Yeah.
I'm not afraid of you.
My biggest problem with the Machine Empire, which we're going to be talking about, is how their resources don't make any sense to me. If this really was a full-scale invasion of the planet, how come nothing about life changed? They're like, send down 6 cogs.
Just 6?
Just 6. Send in 3 jet fighters.
Yeah, you make a lot of sense because later on...
And then they got that big walking thing that they keep showing pictures of, like a big... The day the Earth stood still, walking contraption.
Oh, the thing that's always on the moon where the Empire is.
Where's that fucking thing?
I understand where you're getting at. Because in later, much later in Power Rangers series, we know what happens when you have an armada.
And it actually attacks the planet.
We see what can happen.
Right. Nothing about life changed. Ernie's juice bar was still just like, oh man, did you hear that now they send down 6 cogs instead of putties? That shit is terrifying.
Instead of having 10 people at most living on the moonosphere, they switched out to an armada, an empire of robots.
But evidently they only had enough energy. They were working on Serpentera batteries, and when they got to the moonosphere, that was as far as they could travel. So they no longer have the energy to get that armada to Earth. So they're just, like, on the moon being like, you're lucky we can't get over there. Which we're going to talk about that because that's a legitimate fucking thing that I just mentioned that is mentioned in another episode that pisses me off. That little thing I just made fun of that they didn't have the batteries to travel to Earth, that's legitimate. I'll bring it up. Now, of course, yada yada, they given the Zio powers, Billy opts out, they get the Zio powers, they send down, I guess, the largest strike force they could manage for episode 1, 2, rather. So they're like, fuck it, send 30 cogs, and...
Oh, look, we get to finally morph and stuff.
And then they morph, and he's like, fucking super kick, bitch, done. Fucking, they're done.
But we were told before that the Zio crystal is supposed to have, like, what, infinite power?
And supposedly it's perpetual energy, that every time they morph, they're a little stronger than the last time they morphed.
Supposed
in a
to.
Way, you can see this is true. Because when they first fight the cogs in the first episode, you have to beat them until they simply don't work anymore. There's no like...
I think the term is you have to disassemble them.
Yeah, there's no
supposed
amount... There's no weak spot. You can't punch them in the Z. They're not made of clay. They're like a tough material that they're tough to get rid of. But every time the Rangers fight them, it seems to get easier and easier to get rid of them.
All right.
So, yes, the Machine Empire loses. Next is Shooting Star.
Oh, also, Bulk and Skull get Rito and Goldar as slaves.
Oh, yeah, we didn't talk about that. Rito and Goldar need a place to live, shack up with Bulk and Skull.
Let's just say this.
Who are now cops.
Bulk and Skull became cops. And, let's
biker
just,
cops.
Yes.
Because they got a bike.
Let's just say that Bulk and Skull...
Which still makes me feel like they're in California, by the way.
I think that
Because they're like motorcycle cops.
Well, now with the movie that we saw come out, it has been a they are in California.
Okay, yep, see?
I believe they are in California.
Right next to the River Ocean Lake.
And you know what? That movie actually made sense. When I finally seen Angel Grove, I was like, water, forest, mountains area. Where the fuck are you? I've been to California. I don't remember any of this shit. But no.
It's a very special area of California. You didn't go there.
We also forget that this is the first Ranger series that they need to do more than to morph. Used to be, it's morphin' time, say your freaking animal or your dinosaur, and you morph. This time, they have to twist their wrist to get Ranger
so they
one.
Can make a shape.
So they can make a shape, and they have
Zero to... Zero Ranger, whatever color.
Yeah, but they can't, you're going too fast. You wouldn't
Before
even morph
Before they
yet.
Can morph.
Before you could do that, you gotta shake your wrist and make two triangles.
You have to shake your wrist to make the two morphers appear on each wrist.
Then you have to do your fancy pose.
And then you say...
Then you can make the little thing click. Then after the thing clicks and you touch the two things together, then you could do the part you're at.
So where's that line from Tokuger?
There is no line.
There's no line. If someone punches you in the face during transformation,
Tokuger came
in
later.
In fact, I think they do get that in one episode. I think Rocky's trying to morph and they're like, there's too many cogs surrounding him, and the other, like, Adam has to get them off of him.
So once again, until Tokuger, when they actually explain, do not cross this line.
Didn't one of them lose one of the morphers on their wrist for a while and they had to get it back?
Yeah,
couldn't morph?
There was an episode where most of the time one of the morphers was gone.
Yeah.
There was an episode where Kat lost her morpher.
Yeah, so this is obviously not better than Mighty Morphin Morphing. Mighty Morphin Morphing, you put that fucking morpher out, and it's done. It's already in progress. You just say a name.
Now, here's the thing I've always noticed. I watched an episode, and the episode showed Rocky, Kat, and Aisha running towards these cogs, and they had to morph. But they didn't do their freaking thing.
Yeah,
they
I
ran
saw
and
that.
Just morphed.
It just happened. And I was like, wait.
They do that sometimes in Ranger series where they just need to speed it up. They don't stop there and like, guys, it's morphin' time.
So that means there's a weird set of vanity in the Rangers where they're like, we're so cool.
But,
like, if I'm Zordon, okay, I know I got a bunch of teenagers and shit, dude. So maybe that's my fault. But when I'm like, you guys need to morph and take care of this situation, they're like, that's right, it's morph of time. Jew, Vogue, ching, it's words. Fucking
my
number five Zeo Ranger. I'm like, guys, just fucking morph and go.
Now, you know what's sad is the next series, Turbo, they actually morph faster. Because I seen TJ, he'll like lean over, be like, it's morphin' time. And he'll pull off the key and he'll just put it in the ignition
actually,
and turn.
I thought that one's... Shift into turbo.
Shift into turbo.
Yeah, they shift into turbo, and they have to do the driver thing, and then they move their arms, then they get the key, then they put it in and turn it. Because they have to do the steering wheel dumb shit first.
Mighty Morphin is...
They do the steering wheel, the shift movement, the key, plug it in,
and you already know what they have to do in space.
Yep.
Yeah, they have to, like,
three, five, enter.
Yep. So they have to be looking at the fucking keypad, and if somebody's in their face or something, like, get off me, I have to push five!
My thing about it is, though, is that until Tokuger, where they actually explained, cross this line while we morph and you're dead.
Right.
That for years, we've always wondered that. There's no protective barrier going around Zeo.
Yeah, if you're about to morph,
I'm the monster and I'm a competent, not stupid monster, and you, Bill, need to be the Red Ranger real quick, and you like it's morphin' time, I'm gonna be like, what the?
Right.
And you're gonna while you're halfway in the middle of your arm movements, and you're right. gonna be like, son of a bitch, he's too smart. Like, I ain't gonna let you morph, bitch.
I'm going to hit that button on my watch, beam back to Zordon, Vogue in front of him for a minute, change, and come back as the Red Ranger.
You would have to do that. I'm not going
to
let you do this.
Zordon's like, why does he keep coming back here?
Ay, Zordon, the monster won't let him morph because this was ignorant.
That's not it, Alpha. I think he likes me. He keeps coming in to dance for me. Yes, dance, Ranger. dance.
Zordon, that's how they morph.
No.
I know. I put it in.
That is not true. They can instantly morph. He enjoys dancing for me.
He's in Mighty... You said, Mighty Morphin had the fastest morphing time. It's morphin' time. Tyrannosaurus.
Right.
Let's go. Everybody else has to do fucking Vogue dancing. Right. To morph.
Right.
Yeah, look at those Dino Charge guys.
Oh, my God.
The dancing.
They have
there.
To take this little thing out. Fucking spin their gun. Put this thing in the gun. Fucking spin the chamber. Fucking spin in a circle. Unleash the power. Fucking fire it in the air.
Oh, my mistake. That was the Japanese version where they dance
around.
Yeah,
the Japanese do dances.
And shoot.
Yeah, that's the American version. That's how they morph. That's how you have to morph in Dino Charge. The monsters are literally having a cup of tea while they wait. Tokuger is like the only one that I can think of that has an explanation.
Right, where they fucking, before they do anything, they put the line down. And if you're dumb enough to be on the other side of the line, you're dead.
You're incinerated instantly. Doesn't matter if you're one of the awesome fucking crows.
Right.
The greatest of all putties. Or you're a monster. No matter how strong you are, incinerated.
So, we go Shooting Star, Target Rangers, For Crying Out Loud.
Oh, God, that one. That one is... I accidentally sent a message to our group thing. It's like, oh, God, these guys should have learned not to bring in frickin' babies.
Frickin' loud baby.
They're babies!
Rangers in the outfield...
That's the baseball one.
Yep. Every dog has his day where the dog has to go bring the morpher to...
That is the dog named Smokey.
Yep.
Yeah.
He's a cop. Get this. He's a police officer dog, okay?
At the end of the episode,
he's a higher rank than Bulk and Skull. He's a lieutenant.
I say that.
When I seen that, I was like, you guys are taking orders from a dog. How far can you two possibly fall?
The Puppet Blaster.
Okay.
Yeah, that's where
that episode.
That's where a kid's robot gets changed.
There's a kid's show at Ernie's Juice Bar.
Oh my God, that's right.
And this guy and his puppet are doing a show for kids, and the Machine Empire decides to fuck with the puppet, and he controls the minds of the children. Oh my God. I know they're kids.
This episode is way... Okay, this is when we get into territory
except
where we
Stone's,
kind of...
nephew.
We used very little Sentai footage.
No, he was still an evil bastard.
Oh, yes, but I'm going to tell you
we used very little Sentai footage in this episode.
Yes,
this
we did,
is an American episode through and through.
Yes. I want to explain something. I know they're kids. I know they're kids, and I have to give it... It's the mid-90s, I understand. The acting...
Oh man, it is atrocious.
These kids, now these kids are cheering. These kids are cheering. And like, who's your favorite superheroes? The Power Rangers. And you have Rocky, Cat, and Tommy in the audience.
And they're like, that's right. That's right.
Yep. And my biggest thing about this is, it's not that. Cheering, that's not the bad acting. The bad acting comes when there's actually no dialogue for the children. When they're being controlled by the puppet master,
and they're just fucking standing there, and they're fucking walking.
Oh, I've never seen...
Like zombies.
I have never seen such terrible walking acting.
Wait. What about the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers movie
acting.
With the adults walking?
That is actually better.
Better.
That's better?
That is better than this.
You don't remember this episode? This episode is some kind of atrocious.
This is
terrible. They go to see basically... fucking Bozo the Clown.
There you go.
I remember this episode.
This is also the episode, I believe.
It's like, who was that one clown that was on TV when we were kids?
Well, I know Bozo was one. Bozo? That was more or less Chicago.
I think it is Bozo.
Chicago. He was mostly the Chicago area for us.
Okay.
We viewed him here.
Yeah,
so.
It's basically a cross between Pee Wee Herman and Bozo the Clown were one guy with a robot
body.
With a robot with him.
No.
Because
there's a human guy.
Because he's like, you said the magic word or whatever, and then they fucking throw water on you.
They threw water on a cog. And he fucking started like...
By the way, another mention of cog, horrible machine empire technology. The reason they didn't send wave after wave to Earth is because if it fucking rained... We would defeat the robot empire.
In this case, the Zap Brannigan tactic does not work.
If you throw a bucket of water on a cog, they don't work anymore. If cog falls in water, they explode. If it rains, if we have a nice fucking Florida thunderstorm,
let me tell you this.
We just won the war.
We all know that the Machine Empire is located on the Moonosphere that's overlooking Earth.
Right.
Do they not notice that 70% of our planet is, I don't know,
water?
Right.
You can see all the blue.
What exactly were they going to do? They're like, we can't go down there, really.
30% of their planet is land. The rest will fuck us up.
Right. So they're like, then only send 8 cogs. I'm so brilliant, aren't I, Sprocket?
Yes, Father, you are. Because I'm programmed to say that.
Right. Fucking awful.
I'm sorry. This is a reason why I've never been threatened by the Machine Empire.
Yeah, water defeat cog. Yeah.
This is a bad episode. The next episode...
Okay, we're going on?
Oh, yeah, the next episode's bad.
Now Invasion of the Ranger Snatchers.
Yeah, this is an episode where Rocky...
wants to be a star.
He gets to be the sidekick.
Oh, my God. Yep. Yeah. The fucking... they're filming with some superhero guy.
Yeah. Yep.
Now I'm going to tell you something. The cogs show up. And
Sprocket wants to make his own movie.
Yes. The production team sees the fucking cogs.
See, that's another thing, too. That's why I was telling you, sometimes you're talking about when, like, the kid complains and whines. That's because the Machine Empire, the king, when he tries something, if he loses, he's like, don't worry, dear, I'll get them next time. Or he's like, didn't see that coming. Next time I'll build a better one. Or manufacturer's problem, the next one would be better. He's ready to be like, oh, well, I fucked up. This is what I learned from my fuck up. I'll figure it out. But that kid keeps doing stuff as side things to episodes. Like you said, he wants to make a fucking movie. He's excited about making a movie. That's the kid that's doing it this time. So when he loses at the end, the kid is like, this is bullshit, I'm so mad and I'm angry and I'm like the old villains. And the dad says, at least this filming phase shit is over with now. We can get back to work.
This episode... When the cogs show up on the filming set and the production team pushes them into the scene, the superhero actor, he's got some big nuts, and he goes up and he's like, I will stop you. And when he punches the cog, his whole body fucking vibrates.
It reminded me of a scene out of Ninja Turtles where Donatello takes the staff in Turtles 2 and he hits it. It's like, dink, dink.
Yep.
And then
exactly,
he gets stuck wobbling. Yeah, it reminded me of that.
That's exactly what they did. And it shows you how strong the Rangers are. Because a normal person...
even unmorphed, which again goes because into my theory that morphers give you power.
Because after that guy punched it and he fucking fell over and it didn't even budge, Rocky comes over... and fucking grabs them and flips them like they ain't nothing.
Right. And that's not martial arts training, because let me tell you something. Most of these movie guys have to undergo martial arts training to be in movies like that. Now, I realize that we're making a joke about movies on this show, and we're making a joke about that actor, but that would be like saying that Keanu Reeves can't actually kill you with 14 different firearms, because you know what?
I actually seen the clip of him actually at a gun range.
He is actually a badass. He does know kung fu. He does know 5 or 6 different forms of martial arts. Like, he's not fucking proficient. He's not going to go to a tournament and whoop ass. But a regular dude on the street walks up to him, he ain't no bitch. Nope. He has been trained.
Yeah.
He knows how to use firearms, and he knows how to use his hands, and he knows how to use his legs. And if you were dumb enough to say he's just an actor, you might get that ass kicked.
If not killed.
Yeah.
Now, this fucking guy had to have taken some kind of training for his flashy, dumb fucking action movie, especially if he's so goddamn highly rated, because they're making it look like all the women think he's a hard ass because of the movies he's done.
He probably did training through the Hercule Mr. Satan training.
Well, I'm just saying, in normal, if we break this down, we put this into any kind of real universe, he would have to take some actual training to make it look as real as he could. Mm-hmm. That's what these actors do. And yet this guy punches two cogs, and you're right.
Nothing
he
happened.
Did nothing.
And then Rocky threw them like they were a pillow.
Right.
But what this episode is is bizarre, because this is the episode that Rocky, Tanya, and Kat are running, and they instantly morph.
Okay, yeah.
When they're running towards the cogs, this is the episode. And they get trapped in this little, like, 1950s kitchen set. All the Rangers get trapped, and okay, so
they fought that weird fucking water hose monster.
We're gonna get to him because I saw something that blew my fucking mind. When they're in this little set and they're trapped, there's a force field. Adam's punching it and trying to break it. So Tommy, I love Tommy. Guys, don't get me wrong. Tommy was always my favorite Ranger, but there are some points in time where his leadership is in question.
What if we punch it harder?
Well, when Adam hits it and he couldn't do it, so Tommy's like, "Let me try," and literally like pushes Adam out of the way a little bit.
I'm a bigger hard ass than you are. Stand back. So
and then he fucking hits it.
You want to take some steps back so you don't get trapped in my wave of awesomeness,
dude? I'm going to tell you right now, if my punches don't work, I will spin kick the shit out of this. That's how I became the Green Ranger.
That's how I became the Green Ranger. Yeah.
Now, he hits it, nothing happens. So, you know, you got to try something. Adam's like, "Why don't we just use our blaster?" And Tommy's like, "Good idea."
That's right, but only me. You keep standing back there. I'm way too cool.
Listen, guy. I know you're giving me advice, but look at the color of your costume. When you're wearing this color, you can call the shots.
Yeah, I came up with this idea. I'm going to use the blaster.
All right, and then he shoots and nothing happens, and then Sprocket. What's that one guy? Not Sprocket. The other guy that always has a little minion and he spins around.
I know who you're talking about. The weird Scottish robot.
Yeah. He comes on the obviously 1990s tube TV.
Yes, it is. It's very obvious. That's okay, but it was filmed in that time.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
So we laugh at it, but yeah.
But so then he's like, "I need," and you know what's interesting about this is that he's like, "I need number one and I need number five and number two on set," meaning Zeo Ranger 2 and 5, which is Tanya and Tommy.
Okay,
so they go into the set and they fight the weird.
Now hold on. Never mind. Already corrected myself. Don't even need to ask a question.
Okay. So they go into the set, and they fight the weird water hose monster.
Water hose dog monster.
I want to tell you something. He stretched his face and his tongue at him. When I seen that.
And his eyes were like.
When I seen that, I was like. I have seen some bad stuff in my life, in my time of watching Power Rangers.
It's such a weird scene. He's right. It's like they animated it for that 1 second.
And then he shoots water at him. Now, there is something that I don't think physics works this way. He turns on his head.
And if anybody else sees this, they probably like, okay, I've seen hentai. I know where this is going.
No, he's...
He turns his head on, and he shoots water at him, right? Tanya and Tommy... I've never been hit with this kind of water pressure in my life, so I don't know if it actually works. But they were hit with this water so hard that they were continuously flipping in the air.
Here's the thing. He's a monster.
Right.
But they did use fire hoses to hold back, like, riot groups before, and nobody ever flew that goddamn far.
I know that if you get hit with a pressure hose, it will knock you on your ass.
It will knock you on your ass.
Problem
and it
is
will
though,
leave
is
bruises.
I don't ever remember it lifting you up in the air
and
spinning
you to flip 17 times.
I seen that scene and I was like, "What the fuck is going on?"
Well, look at that
hard.
Ghostbusters reboot with the chick and the fire hose.
They got hit hard.
I try not to remember that Ghostbusters movie. I made
Good.
A mistake to
Good.
Watch it.
He hasn't even seen it.
Good.
I've heard the like Bill said, the fire hose scene is just dragging on.
Basically, dude, I'm not going to get into a big conversation about this. Just once seen cannot be unseen. Save yourself.
Yeah. I'm still waiting for it to be in the $5 bin, that simple.
Eventually it'll be free.
That too.
We done with that discussion on that?
Yes, because it comes to an end for Shane.
Number 10 is Graduation Blues.
Oh,
Billy
yes.
graduates and leaves the fucking planet.
Apparently, Angel Grove was mistaken and decided to give Billy a graduation, and apparently he was taking too many extra courses or something.
Now, I want you to think about this. He was a ranger. He was building Zords, recreating the command center, constantly fighting off the forces of Rita and Zed, and somehow took so many classes that he was overqualified to be in school. They forced his graduation a year early.
Yeah.
And he was also surfing and riding four-wheelers and doing extracurricular.
You always forget his greatest accomplishment. He created the flying bug car.
Yeah, he was also at Ernie's Juice Bar working there.
Yep.
Because he would often see him, like, he would take stuff, like, take towels and stuff, like, to the back for Ernie. And
yeah, I think I remember
he made
a few of
Ernie
those.
Equipment for the shop. So,
well, sometimes attempted to.
Right, but yeah, like, holy shit, man. So somehow, in all the time that he still had enough time.
I saw the description of this episode, and I was looking forward to seeing it. I just didn't get to it in time.
The Aquatar Ranger comes back.
The blue Aquatar Ranger comes back.
Because he needs help with there's some issue with the water on their planet.
It's being poisoned.
And this creature is following him.
It's being poisoned, and the poisonous creature comes to our world and poisons our water, and we fix it, because Billy.
And he needs Billy to fix
this
device.
Who is literally the smartest person on the entire fucking planet.
Yes.
But
so,
the problem is, to fully fix the Alien Ranger's device, to fully fix it, he has to go back with him to Aquatar.
Yeah.
Now, this is weird, because he left the show. Like, did he leave the show permanently, or did he come back?
No, this is just for, like, a break.
This is just a writing thing. I don't know if there was actually... When he walked off the show, and we'll get to that conversation
that
when,
like,
the old man shows up.
I think that might have been during... Yeah, that's
that
like
is when
the
old
half.
Man shows yeah. up.
Okay.
When the old man shows up, the reason the old man showed up at all is because, literally...
He walked out.
David Yost just left. He just got up and left and never came back. And they were like, where the fuck did he go? And he was like, this, bitches, this.
Well, because, so he's in the first 10 episodes and then leaves for a while.
Yes.
Leaves for a few episodes, yeah.
Okay.
But I don't think that was the actual actor leaving, because when the actor leaves, we're going to talk about that. That's very blatantly
obvious. I remember
obvious.
Old man.
When that old man shows up, that's because David left the episode right before that. He just got up and left and never came back.
See, even though these next episodes you're going to be talking about are not fresh in my head, there are episodes of Zeo I do remember.
So anyways, he goes off planet now.
Yep.
A few bad seeds is 11.
Yeah, that's about them trying to do their her Boy Scout badge thing with Bulk.
Basically, Rocky somehow managed to take seeds that he didn't know shit about, mend them with seeds that he didn't know anything about,
and made
crossbreed to create the plant from the Little Shop of Horrors that eats metal instead of people.
Yeah.
And when though that plant was, like, taken and turned into a monster.
When does it... What episode... I don't know if you guys can pinpoint it, but what episode is a Adam-centered episode?
The next one it kind of is.
12 is Instrument of Destruction.
Yeah, this one involves kind of focused on Adam and Skull.
And Skull.
Because Skull can play classical music on a piano.
It is revealed that he is a hardcore piano talent, that he's been training for years and years and years.
He was like,
and
he
just
played
doesn't
as a
tell
kid,
people.
So.
He doesn't tell people because his best friend, he thinks, would shit on him about it.
And not only that, other people, too.
And Bulk probably would.
Bulk begins to shit on him about it. When he first walks in, he sees it going down.
Until he sees who's actually playing.
The thing about Bulk and Skull is that while they're young guys trying to figure out their own lives, and in order to kind of make themselves feel better, because they've been shit on by 5 teenagers half their fucking life, they... will sometimes look at something and just be like, that's stupid. that's this and that's ignorant. look at that. And they're just trying to make themselves get through the day. That's really, it's a cover up. They don't actually think everything is stupid or that's dumb or this is for dweebs. It's a cover up because their lives, they haven't been able to really accomplish anything. And they're trying to. They're trying to do this cop thing. And they've even gone as far as to take everything that they've done with a pinch of seriousness, because like, there's even episodes where they're told, hey, make sure this yard is done right. You gotta watch this. You gotta guard this. And they're doing their job seriously. They're doing what they're supposed to do.
Yeah, they do take it seriously until it gets effed up.
They even know when the alien crash landed in the last episode, those were the two guys that met the alien and took him to Billy and said, this guy says he has to see you. And they knew he was an alien. They knew Billy was into some next world shit. They didn't ask questions. They just knew that what they were doing was important, so they did it.
And they stayed by the alien ranger and made sure they got there.
Yeah. They took him there. So
Bulk and Skull have episodes where you look at them and you're thinking, maybe these guys are not as stupid as we all thought they were.
They're just... Because the comic relief, they're given to stupid action. Because sometimes, just like you needed Bones McCoy in Star Trek to sometimes do something dumb that makes no sense to his character model, he was Gumby McCoy, and you could change his character to fit whatever you needed in current episodes. Sometimes he was an old country doctor that drank, and sometimes he was a super passionate man that actually knew what he was doing. And that's the way you just wrote characters. Bulk and Skull fell into this problem. Sometimes they're competent. Other times they're just the characters that they need to be.
Some side characters.
Yeah, they're the dumb characters that we need for whatever situation is playing out.
They're also older than the other guys.
Technically they should be.
They're cops. They're not in school anymore.
Are they graduated or are
Well, here's
they
the problem, though.
Sort of
as
ROTC
far as I know, you
thing.
Have to... I think you have to have some kind of high school diploma. Or something to
you don't have to. You don't have to be in the military. You can do the ROTC program. Maybe they're doing something comparable to that.
Well, they did attend to a police academy, so when they first got in.
Because they're still at the school.
That's because. Well, that's just because they're...
I don't know if we ever see them in classes or doing anything like that. Maybe, I don't know.
Well,
that's a good question.
This instrument one, Skull was in the music class that he joined in, so...
That's true. Skull was in school. He was in the music class.
See, it's hard to tell if these guys are older or younger or the same age.
That's because by now this school shit should be done. They should have forced all the Rangers to graduate. Graduation day shouldn't have just been for Billy. It should have been all the Rangers should have graduated, and when they graduated, the end should have been making that next step into life, watching Billy leave is like our worlds will never be the same. That's what it should have been like. Even if he does come back, it should have been a realization that your life is different now and you've graduated and you're going to move on to different things.
Right.
They didn't. They kept these characters in school because reasons.
Right. All right.
But when Bulk sees that, at first he walks in, he's like, classical music. Yeah, because who really gives a fuck? And then he sits down and sees that it's his friend up there wailing on the piano. And he's like, oh, he's fucking awesome. And then he goes up there and he's like, dude, that was fucking fantastic. Some of the best shit I've ever heard and seen in my life.
And Skull's like, I thought you hated classical music.
And he's like, no.
Did I say
no,
that?
If you're good at it, then I was wrong. He was like, because it was awesome. And so we go from there.
Mean Screen.
Yeah, we're on Mean Screen.
That's the computer episode with Tanya learning computers and stuff.
Fucking prodigy.
There's a dude in this episode.
I hope there's multiple dudes.
Who writes a computer program, an antivirus. Tanya opens up like an email because she understands email.
Oops.
Well, not
a virus.
Not everybody can be your grandma.
Fuck, my mom doesn't understand email. She gets on the email. She opens up a bad one.
Oh, what's this? Oops.
It gives the computer a virus that has like a minute-long countdown. It's like, we're going to infect your computer in 1 minute. Fucking hardcore 80s bullshit. We didn't understand what computers really were. And then like...
Oh no, let me get something up and running. And
so this dude takes a motherfucking
floppy disk.
Fucking puts it in his computer, opens up like 30 different fucking windows with all these... They're just fucking numbers,
and
okay?
Maybe about 30 seconds left now.
They're just fucking numbers. I was looking at it and trying to make sense of it in any way I could, and it's like, hold on, I need to write this algorithm. And it just brings up all these screens and all these numbers, and then like ones and eights and nines and twelves and everything else. So you know it's not like a binary code that's being written like computers do. So then, after all these weird numbers come up and some flashy screen effects, he takes this floppy out. And whatever this fucking virus is that's literally going to crash every computer in the school in the next 30 seconds, he dissected the virus, discovered what it was, rewrote the motherfucker, and created an antivirus and stored it all on his 2 megabyte fucking floppy disk.
1.4.
1.4, yeah. His 1.4 fucking floppy held enough information for him to just go over there and be like, and he doesn't even do, he just puts the motherfucker in and touches a couple keys and he's like, I did that shit. Saved the fucking day. And then he does it again with the Machine Empire. They're like, this is brilliant. We should write a fucking virus. Now, this is a competent idea. They wrote a virus. Then they create this monster, this machine monster.
That looks like the virus.
Who can implant a virus into any machine and then spread it. They take out machines. Humans are fucked. We need them. Our lives have become very dependent on them.
More so today.
Right. So this even goes as far as to fuck up the Megazord's programming. So this was a good idea. This guy sees this virus going down, because it's affecting every fucking computer in the world, while the kids are in... Now, listen here.
Oh,
the
no.
Kids are in computer class. Think about this. The kids are in computer class right now. This virus is going down, and it's infecting the world.
You know, this is even worse. Billy's not at the command center.
Right. Well, this kid goes over and he's like, oh shit, this motherfucker is about to squash the whole planet. Hold on, let me get my antivirus going. Pops them knuckles, puts in that floppy.
Grabs his 1.4 floppy.
1.4 floppy, puts that motherfucker in. Now, let me tell you something. There is no way in hell that you could program the artificial intelligence needed to run the robot empire on a 1.4 motherfucking floppy disk. Let alone the kind of complicated virus that this life form would have made to conquer our planet. If data from Star Trek created a fucking virus meant to destroy the Enterprise, they could not defeat it with a floppy disk. Okay? This kid takes the floppy disk, puts that motherfucker in his computer, deletes the one that he already made, because he needs space on his disk, you know? It's only got so much space. Brings up his fucking retarded program, and while the Rangers go off and fight, he rewrote the Machine Empire's virus. The Machine fucking Empire is so far ahead of us in technology and understanding of what technology is, it's not even fathomable. They make living fucking beings. We make 1.4 floppy disks. Okay? He took the 1.4 floppy disk, gave it to a Power Ranger. Oh, and by the way, while they were in class, they just got up and left that motherfucker. They just got up and was like, we're going to go see if maybe there was a power surge or something. Because that makes all the sense in the world. I'm sure the teacher was just fine with being like, yeah, that's fine. But the dude that was teaching the class was like, yeah, guys, go ahead. Check and see if there was a power surge. Even though that has nothing to fucking do with the computer problem at hand. And if I'm such a goddamn genius, I know that you're just leaving me here on my own.
He's probably used to it, though.
The teacher.
I think it was that kid, because he seemed to be teaching the class.
Oh.
And so, he was just like, yeah, guys, go ahead. GTFO, I'll deal with the world-crushing virus.
So let's call this kid Billy 2.0.
Billy 2.0 wrote a virus on his 1.2 floppy disk.
1.4.
I'm sorry. I just took, yeah, he's going to need every little piece that he gets, so I can't take that away from him. It's going to be very important that he has those 0.2. takes that fucking floppy disk, gives it to the Green Ranger. The Green Ranger goes to the command center, which I'm guessing also runs on the same fucking technology, because they're space age alien fucking world technology.
So Alpha should be freaking out by now.
Alpha takes the fucking floppy disk. Now, Alpha couldn't figure this out. He's a fucking AI also that shouldn't understand computers way more than we do. He didn't know how to do this either. But fucking Billy 2.0, he's fucking on it.
I think that you're missing... I think the reason why he was able to stop the Machine Empire's virus is that all these years we've underestimated 1.4 floppy.
I guess so. That's true.
There might be something about it that is just world-breaking.
It's a tech that really needs to come back. I've been lost without it. Fuck it.
Have you seen what they do with those drives now?
No.
They make music with them. Remember how the old 5 1/4 and 3.5-inch drives used to make those...
Yeah.
They use those to make music now.
At least they still have a purpose.
They're not stopping...
I've still got a shit ton at home.
They're not stopping advanced space robots from destroying the world, but...
Yeah, their time has passed.
Right.
I mean, that's already been done here in the past. So Alpha takes the 1.4 floppy, puts it in the computer... Not even going to question how that one worked.
Doesn't Alpha have a CD slot in the back?
Yes, but the command center... has a drive for 1.4 floppy disks. The command center has a fucking A drive.
Sure, okay. Why not?
Well, so he puts this motherfucker in, closes the... It's also a weird drive, too, because he has to put it in and close this lid thing.
Oh, the VCR lid style. Huh?
Yeah, it's like a VCR A drive. So he puts this fucking thing in. It fucking cures the Megazord, defeats the virus, saves the world... And then they defeat the monster. And the whole episode, man, I was just watching agape, like, what in the fuck? Like, just, what is happening? Like, this episode fucking floored me, dude.
Maybe they ran off of Q Basic. You know, like the 10, 20, 30 instructions? It says 10, do this. 20, go to 10.
20, go to 10. Fucking ridiculous.
Oh, speaking of ridiculous, Mr. Billy's Wild Ride. Guess what this is? Billy in a ship.
Okay, there's one thing and only one thing about this episode that I want to talk about. Billy comes home. That's good and fine. We knew he was coming home. When he comes home, the Machine Empire shoots him with this gun. Pew! Pew! Take that, bitch.
Oh no, my ship's out of control now.
He almost flies to some Machine Empire depot station or some shit, supply station, but the Rangers manage to somehow get him to not go there, and then they accidentally send him into the sun, so he's motherfucking barbecuing alive.
Oh, it's hot in here.
So they go and they got it. Of course, there's a bunch of other shit going on, but they basically have to send Tommy up to show his fucking muscles, and he's like, "Rrr!" And he tries his best Dolph Lundgren impression when he fucking pushes the satellite
dish into place.
They shoot this fucking beam and they bring Billy home. Now, as Billy is on his way home, the king says he's on his way back. Shoot him again. And the kid says, "We can't. We are out of batteries." The Machine Empire
is out of batteries.
Runs on Serpentera batteries. And that's the reason they never made it to Earth, Shane.
Actually, that was a...
They don't even have enough batteries to power their cannons for more than one shot.
That was
These motherfuckers need to go get some Energizer.
No, the command center also had a slight issue with this, too, with the first time that they shot something out to help Billy. They changed the battery energy thing, but...
The thing that you were talking about earlier, Billy was about to go to a Machine Empire depot, and they rerouted, the Rangers rerouted him to the sun.
Yeah.
I'm going to sit here... And if I found out that, I'm assuming that Billy knew that his friends were trying to help him.
They do something, like, he has no control over the ship, so all I can do is shoot this weird magnet ray that kind of directs him in places.
I've been like, hey guys, I'm going towards the sun. I'd have been better there.
Right. Yeah.
Let me go to the Machine Empire.
Right.
At least...
Truth be told, I know more about the Machine Empire than they know about themselves. If a 1.4 floppy can stop them in their tracks, I'll be fine once I land on the Moonosphere. I will just reprogram them.
I'm going to deactivate them, and we're going to end this shit quick.
Right.
But no, you want to be like, I'm Tommy.
Yep.
I'm going to help.
I'm going towards the sun now. I can't reprogram that.
Yeah, there's not much I can do here.
It's going to hurt a lot. I'm going to burn up.
So now we have...
Oh.
There's No Business Like Snow Business, episode 15, 16, and 17.
The three-parter. Dear Abby letter.
Bill, your face tells me everything about this episode.
Kimberly breaks up with Tommy through a John Deere letter.
Yeah, the John Deere letter.
Oh, okay. Yes, I remember that.
The John Deere letter specifically says...
Dear John.
This is John Deere.
John Deere.
You saying John Deere, and I was like, "This
tractor letter."
Damn right, the tractor letter that ran the fuck up over his heart says, "Hey, I met somebody else. Fuck on you."
Did it literally say, "I met somebody else"?
Yes, it literally does say, "I met somebody else," and it basically says, "Fuck on you."
And let's find a way to
says
cheer
this is the
Tommy
hardest
up.
This is the hardest thing I've ever had to do in my entire life. But basically, something wonderful happened out here, and it doesn't involve you. It involves some other dude. Fuck on you. That's so, basically what it actually says.
And after that, the guys decide, oh, let's try to cheer Tommy up by going snowboarding.
You remember how we were talking about we were worried about the movie because. They were really downer kids.
Yep.
You know, real-life kids.
Yeah.
Remember how the 90s Rangers can't work in today's society?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's because, Bill, you've been dating Kimberly for years.
Years. At least, three or four now?
You literally got
maybe
a letter.
It has to be at least three. I think I'm seniors.
Well, actually, maybe four because there's that time that Kimberly went away.
They are on their senior year because Billy says, I have 1 year left, and they said, no, you're out now, so they're seniors.
But then again, Kimberly did go away to the Olympic-type stuff.
Right, but I was still dating her. It was a long-distance relationship. We were sharing letters.
That was the issue.
So because
he even says she never mentioned anything about another guy in any other letter.
I want you to know this, okay? You just got a letter from Kimberly.
Yeah.
She told you to go fuck off.
And this is also the time where they do something to Kat that I also don't like. That they force her to be the love interest. And I don't care. It's fucking forced. Because Kat never gave any real idea that she was, like, into Tommy. Not that I remember. Like, slight glimpses.
Wait. At first she tries to help. And then she starts thinking...
Yeah,
maybe.
She tries to be like, hey, I could hook him up with some other girl or something. And then all of a sudden she's like,
woman.
She's like, oh, but you know what? I actually kind of want that spinning, kicking dick, so I
well,
think I'm going to go after
you're
it.
Sad now, Bill. You're sad. You're
sad.
So me, Scott, and Jeremy here, we're gonna cheer you up, Bill. Bill, listen, I know you're sad. You know, this girl you loved, you know, you've been with for a while.
I don't just love her. We fought shoulder to shoulder on the battlefield.
Yep. You guys fought.
We're fucking boss and big boss.
She stomped on your heart. She told you to go fuck off, Bill.
Mm-hmm.
I need to cheer you up. Let's go snowboarding.
Fucking sweet.
Fuck bitches.
I'm ready for Widow's Peak in this motherfucker.
That doesn't work in real life.
Especially when they had to come back to Angel Grove itself.
Now, at this exact time that they go snowboarding, there is a heat wave in Angel Grove because monster.
Actually, there's a monster.
Where'd
when
they
they're
go snowboarding
at?
Well,
actually,
the
towards,
mountain.
Towards the end of the snowboarding, it was starting to heat up.
Okay, because you can't go snowboarding if it's a heat wave.
Mountain.
Heat wave.
Mountain.
I guess they do have fucking...
They went down the road to where the intersection is. They turned left. That took them into the snow region of Angel Grove.
It's
and
good because
the
if they
would have
turned right, they would have went to the volcano.
It's true. They went to the fucking mountain. Located to the... What is that? Is that to the right of the Angel Grove River Lake or something like that? Somewhere around
River
there.
Lake
Angel
Ocean.
Grove is a terrifying place to live. Natural catastrophes will destroy...
Oh, by the way, I would also like to bring up Zordon is a dick.
We've always known
that. Let's say that their fucking relationship failed because it was long distance and they couldn't see each other. Motherfucker, I can teleport. Why didn't I just go see Kimberly whenever the fuck I wanted to? I'm out of school, guys.
That's an abuse of power.
It's an abuse of my power. Zordon would take my power from me, or rather, Alpha would. Alpha would take my power from me for Zordon because he can't physically fucking do it.
Tommy, we're going to leave you there because you're abusing your power.
Right. So, yeah. I wasn't allowed to go see Kimberly because fucking reasons. So me and Kimberly don't fucking make it. Okay? Good. During this fucking trip, he meets
some older skiing.
She's
person.
Training for championships or yeah. something like nationals or some shit.
Oh, look, another person going for nationals and stuff.
He saves her life. They do like this dumb fucking love story with her.
They try to go on dates.
And every time the date gets interrupted by Monster. Now here's something that this actually literally pisses me off. Tommy's like, oh fuck, you're not going to believe this, but like right at their last date and he's all really liking this girl and he's like, I got no choice, I got to go. I can't explain why. Let me tell you something. He got up, left the fucking table, said morphin time, put the Zords together, fired a beam, pew, dead, or whatever. Like, it's fucking quick as shit. It's like, I don't even think they got to the Zord part, did they, in the final attack? They just shot, like, some big beam thing and killed it?
Probably.
It's like, it's fast as shit. They're like, fuck, let's go. Boo! They're like, you're gonna wish you hadn't interrupted my fucking dinner. And he's like, rah, I'm a monster. Pew! Dead. Fight didn't even take 3 minutes. I'd have told that bitch, hold on, I gotta take a shit.
I gotta take a shit.
I'm sorry. I'm a teenager. Okay? She'll be fine with that excuse. Sitting there in Ernie's, I'm like, oh my god. I know this is fucking ridiculous, but I really gotta go to the bathroom. I'm sorry. I go to the bathroom, I vogue, I change, I shoot my laser beam, I teleport back into the bathroom, actually take a piss if I have to, wash my hands, get all the monster off of them, and fucking go back out to eat. She doesn't have to know shit.
With the ability to teleport, you should never be able to miss a date or
right.
be late. You literally.
But I cannot visit Kimberly because that's an abuse of my powers.
Bill, that's on the.
I can teleport all over Angel Grove whenever I feel like it, though.
That's because leaving Angel Grove is a no-no.
It's true.
You don't get powers.
Especially as often as Angel Grove's under attack.
And truth be told, we know that the powers can send us all the way across the motherfucking universe. Which is another problem I have, because when they brought the fucking alien rangers here, didn't they teleport them?
Mm-hmm.
Zordon is a dick!
Mm-hmm.
That alien ranger came here in a fucking spaceship, and they sent Billy home in one, and he almost ended up in the fucking sun! Teleport that motherfucker! He's still got a watch!
I'm gonna tell you something. Zordon
is a dick!
I figured it out. I know why he's a dick. He looks at Kimberly and Tommy's relationship.
I can't have that.
Exactly. I'm a head
oh,
in a
that
jar.
Looks familiar. That looks too familiar.
Right!
I had a relationship once. Now I'm a head in a jar.
Dick! No.
He's jealous.
Dickhead.
He's a dickhead. And he can't handle seeing Kimberly and Tommy happy, so he's like, Tommy, you can't see her.
Tommy's like, I really miss her, Zordon. And you know what? He doesn't need Zordon's fucking permission to teleport, because there's even an episode in this series where in the middle of the night, he just teleports right to the command center.
Yeah, because he's having a nightmare.
Yeah, because he has a nightmare. He's actually,
that comes up in the next episode.
Oh, well, there we go. Fucking, we're done talking about this dumb shit. This episode only exists for the idea of getting rid of Kimberly and forcing another Pink Ranger relationship.
Oh, and a vacation.
Unlike, a lot of people complain about Time Force saying that they're mad that the Pink Ranger never actually got with the Red. Thank fucking God.
She expressed how she felt about him.
And that's all she needed. They didn't need to be fuck buddies or partners in any way except for that's their job.
But we knew from, like... We knew for...
It was nice to have one fucking Ranger story where the Pink Ranger wasn't bolted down to one of the dicks on the team.
And why is it always the pink with the red?
Because leadership.
What if Adam wanted to get with
Pinks Kat? Pinks like leaders.
Adam's...
Like a man that can accomplish things.
Adam's green.
So? He don't accomplish shit.
Actually...
He drives a minivan. He's already taken.
What about Rocky? No, never mind.
Exactly. See? You like men that can accomplish things.
Rocky couldn't even get the power sword.
When you get an episode that's expressly there for the purpose of doing your best Dolph Lundgren impression, you've accomplished something. You get a Pink Ranger.
Oh, no. Adam comes back. Adam and Tommy...
As a frog?
As a
minivan? As a cockpiece?
As a ranger who
has shoulders?
As a ranger who could literally die to save a friend? You accomplished something.
Yeah.
Kat wasn't around, though.
But then he's not in the show anymore.
And, oh, no, he comes back.
Yeah.
He goes, and he comes back to lead a team.
Oh, well, then if he would have stuck around, he might have finally got a pink.
Adam is awesome. He needs ladies, too.
He doesn't get no ladies.
Actually, I wouldn't be surprised if there was like a deleted plot twist where Adam ended up with Tanya. Concerned how close
they spend a lot of time together.
You know what? I would be okay with that.
They spend a lot of time together.
They always focused on the pink and red.
And he was the one that was there when the baseball dude started acting a prick, and he was like, dude, you don't need that. Fuck off.
Yeah.
I think Adam liked Tanya.
That'd be fine with that. That would have been cool. It would have been a nice little subplot.
You know what that means, right?
What?
Kat likes Tommy. Tommy likes Kat. Tanya likes Adam. Adam likes Tanya. Poor Rocky. Jason comes back.
I'm shedding tears over here for Rocky.
Jason likes Rocky. Rocky likes Jason.
There's something about that character that just... They never gave him the right... He never got his own real development. He's just a fucking background character all the time.
Bill, he did a fucking spin kick out of a ring and couldn't be a Power Ranger anymore.
My God.
Speaking of spin kicks and backstories...
When we get there, I'm gonna fucking... I'm gonna fucking let loose that dumb son of a bitch.
That is the worst scene in all of Power Rangers.
How did that shit even happen?
But yeah, speaking of spin kicks and backstories, here we go with
Tommy's
arc. Yeah, this is where Tommy starts his...
Is this more than one episode? Just challenges? Was that a part of it?
Challenges and Lost and Found are all part of this arc where Tommy's trying to find his spiritual...
Also, 21 says, brother, can you spare an arrowhead? Wasn't that part
of
it too?
That's the end. That's the end of it.
So that's the big arc. This is where Tommy finds his brother because...
The arrowhead that he had from his...
Because Hollywood Indians...
Well, during the Zio
Americans.
No, Hollywood Indians. I'm not going to call them Native Americans, because this is how Hollywood depicts Indians and Native Americans. Native Americans is a respectful term of people that I know and understand, and they're good fucking people. Hollywood Indians are those dumb, mythical, we don't know shit about Indians, but here they are in our movies characters that talk about spirit walks and animal friends and dumb shit.
But for those who didn't see the other stuff... Back during the CEO quest, Tommy found or received a half of an arrowhead while finding his crystal, his little Zio crystal. And that comes into effect here where he stumbles across a guy, well, a Native American, who looked similar to the one who advised him and gave him the arrowhead.
Who was like, you must, and he does nothing but talk in riddles and drop wise knowledge.
And this same
assuming kind that Native Americans can't talk normally?
Not in Hollywood. He just says, this is a good place to find arrowheads. You must not look to the destination, but experience the journey, Tommy. The fuck out of here with that.
And I disappear.
And then he vanishes because he's fucking Hollywood Indian.
And the animal Tommy has to follow.
A falcon.
Oh, wow. Shocking. Unbelievable.
I don't know. It could have been a tiger.
Nope.
Or it could have been Godzilla.
Can only be his spirit animal.
His spirit animal is apparently
a
falcon.
Was revealed by Whistle Sticks Lady. She has to live shore to Stonehenge, and she knows some things.
But anyway,
I want my spirit animal to be the Dragon Zord. I want it to be Godzilla.
Nope. It's fucking frog.
But yeah, he more or less goes out on this journey, and he stumbles across this other guy who somehow looks exactly like him. No.
I think they look similar.
Exactly alike? No.
No, not even close. Similar. I could buy that it's his brother.
Yeah, the brother I could see, but them saying, he looks so much alike. Who's who? Are you smoking something?
They keep doing that, too. They keep being like, there's two Tommies over there. No, not even fucking. Yeah, I get that.
Are you
not
high?
Even close.
Look for the one wearing red.
So here's something for you.
That's an issue, though. The brother wears red. Tommy? Isn't Tommy wearing, like, a white gi?
No, Tommy's in red. Tommy's in the red gi. His brother's in the white.
Okay, never mind, then.
Yep.
That's easy. We're Power Rangers. We're color coordinated.
I got one for you. What if that's not Tommy's brother? But what if it is technically an ancestor of Tommy?
From the ranger that went that
from
stayed
the ranger
past.
That went
the
back.
The old Green Ranger.
The old Green Ranger, yep.
He did have to grow up.
Could have kids.
And live in that time.
Yeah, his ancestor could have.
He could have ended up with an Indian tribe. Who knows what happened back then?
Yeah.
And
that makes a lot of sense, actually.
He could have ended up marrying into the Indian tribe.
You know what? We're going to go ahead and say that's what happened.
And what if that is a distant relative of the clone Tommy?
Yeah, the Green Ranger that stayed in the past.
When I seen the kid, I started wondering how would there have been brothers and then they go into like
oh yeah we were
big
both adopted
details
and stuff.
That evidently Tommy and the brother were both adopted and
now wait if both Tommy and the brother were adopted could the Green Ranger himself have been the ancestor for.
Could the Green Ranger could have been like a weird predestination yeah. paradox that Tommy yeah. is his own
yeah.
daddy thing?
Yeah. Could that be a possibility?
Why not? Why fucking not? I kind of see it.
Because they were adopted. They don't know about their real fathers.
They don't
fathers,
know nothing
so...
about their real fathers. Yeah. Their real father.
Father. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you could have just... They could be a weird predestination paradox that clone Tommy started the Tommy family line.
What a twist.
What a twist! So now we go to...
Trust in Me.
Trust in Me.
Oh, with the blind martial artist, yeah.
That is... that. Yeah, basically, female Daredevil comes onto the show and kicks people, and Rocky... I just want to point this out here.
Oh, another case where Rocky has another crush or something.
No, this is... Okay, look. She knows he's a Power Ranger. There's no way she doesn't. She heard a buzzing noise from 10 blocks away. From 10 blocks away, she heard a fucking buzzing noise. And Rocky tells her, I'm going to go check on that noise. He goes as far as from my chair... to the kitchen.
It's morphin' time.
He can still see the girl. She's that fucking close. And he says, it's morphin' time. Trying to be all quiet. But then it goes to the fucking footage and he goes, Zeo Ranger! Fucking morphing! And he fucking changes. And then fucking flies off to be the Blue Ranger. She knows he's a fucking Power Ranger now. If she heard a buzz from 10 blocks away, she heard that motherfucker whisper and yell morph. It's morphin' time.
I can hear you.
Zero Ranger 3, blue.
Yeah, that's exactly how it went.
I can hear you.
That would have been great if she's like, Rocky, are you a Power Ranger?
And then she literally walks down the steps to where they are and meets back up with him. And she's like, Rocky, who are you with? And he's like, oh, I'm just... here with the Power Rangers. They're looking for something. And she's like, if you're talking about the big thing that just jumped off the roof, it went that way. If she can hear all that, she knows you're a fucking Power Ranger. It's not even worth the... And there's a noise when he de-transforms, when he's like, shit, hold on, guys. Browmp! And he walks over to her. I'm just here with the Power Rangers. They need some help. No, dumbass. She knows now. If she could smell what that kid had for lunch, She knows that something is different in the atmosphere when you change from super-powered costume dude back into Rocky. And she heard your ass morph. You were there. You were where that Bruce Lee is, motherfucker.
She could hear your morphing, let alone your yelling.
Yeah. Or your whispering, for that matter.
Well, to be
she
fair,
heard a buzz 10 blocks
fair,
away.
You can't say, Zeo Ranger 3 Blue. It doesn't work. You have to scream it.
Well, she knows now. Thank God she told nobody and never came back. Because she's gone next episode, and we never have to worry about that horrendous fucking plot hole ever again. Plot. My guess is Zordon teleported her somewhere.
Yeah, the hidden stories of Zordon.
The hidden stories of Zordon. Where do all these people go that could have figured this shit out? You know how many students appear randomly at Angel Grove?
Probably
and
many.
Never come back? Remember the Evil Rangers?
Oh,
they were just
yeah.
students in Angel Grove. Where are they?
Being rehabilitated
by Zordon
in the basement where you never go back to.
Where you never go back to the basement.
So you don't get to see what those students are doing.
Where do all these random students, like Trini was crushing on some dude that was working in the juice bar. He's just gone.
Yeah. Zordon, dude, I'm telling you.
They never even mentioned what happened.
I'm telling
Ernie
you.
Ernie didn't pay enough.
Being a head in a jar. And seeing people happy makes you a dick.
It makes head.
So you're like, you're sitting there like, Trini is happy. Alpha, teleport that motherfucker to the basement.
Yeah.
That motherfucker could be a white ring. Oh, wait, no, here's Tommy again.
Yeah.
I need to, that's how he masked it from, because, you know, regardless.
Alpha was like, what are we going to do with him? Just in case we need other rangers, I will train him personally. In the secret room. You're not allowed to go in the secret room, Alpha.
But Zordon,
I have my own.
No one is allowed in the secret room!
I got my own viewing globe there.
I am interdimensional, and you will not question me!
Boop.
I'll be in the basement, and his head just goes down.
I like how That's another Zordon thing now. We just made a new Zordon.
Now there's
thing.
A new Zordon. There's pervy Zordon. And now there's
dickhead.
Sinister Zordon.
Dickhead.
There's dickhead. There's pervy Zordon, dickhead Zordon, and sinister Zordon. We have three Zordons in our show now.
You do realize eventually we're not going to have Zordon anymore.
I know. I'm going to be so disappointed when I can no
so
longer play
Zordon
my Zordon.
Is actually gone. The person who's supposed to be the mentor...
Oh, it's going to be that dumb fucking floaty lady.
Oh.
She's going to take his place. I don't got no jokes for her. She's dumb.
And there's no reason to have...
There's nothing to joke about with her.
And
is a joke.
She is a joke. She questions, and she doesn't give answers.
And we can't make fun of Tiki Headman.
Dude, he's so cool.
Tiki Headman does not get made fun of. He is awesome.
We'll see. When I we'll see.
He's
we
awesome.
Got a long time.
Oh, you are
I can't get you to watch 25 episodes.
You,
it's going to take a while to get to...
I will get there. Slow and steady wins the race.
Anyway.
Okay. We now go to It Came From Angel Grove.
Their little Halloween special.
What episode is this?
Number 23.
It's the dumb one.
There's a lot of them, so you will need to specify.
It's the dumb Halloween one.
It's okay. Where Tommy is a vampire... Rocky is the werewolf.
They better not.
Billy is Dr. Frankenstein.
Oh, they don't dick at him. Don't dick at him.
I forgot what Adam was.
That means he wasn't memorable.
Because
I know
remembering as well.
I know Tanya was the bride of Frankenstein that Dr. Frankenstein was working on.
Because she knows all about movies from the 1930s.
She knows everything, Bill. You need to get over that.
I think that's the 40s, to be fair. But either way, it pisses me off.
But I forgot what Adam was in that one.
What was Cat? A cat?
There was a cat in it, so... The cat was helping... Oh, it was Adam who was going through these things.
That's right. He got to be nothing.
Because it was all
a
dream.
He was going through the stuff. Yeah, he got to be nothing.
Oh!
So once again,
he got dicked on. Stop it, Adam. What is wrong? Why don't they like this character?
Adam had to get the cloak of Dracula. He had to get some bandages from the mummy, who was Bulk. Meanwhile, Skull was like the curator digging up the mummy.
Why does Adam? Why does no one like Adam? He's my
favorite. He got to be the hero.
Actually, Adam has quite a bit of good of the plot Halloween stuff going on in this series. So
he does, but he still gets dicked on. Yeah. I'm telling you, dude. Adam is one of my favorite Rangers.
We then go to number 24.
Bulk Fiction. Bulk has a crush.
Bulk Fiction.
Bulk has a crush that costs him, Skull, and their captain their jobs.
That has nothing to do with Pulp Fiction. I've seen Pulp Fiction.
No, he's right. They're no longer cops. This is when they have to jump to the private investigation sector.
Yeah, because their captain says, "I've always wanted to be a private investigator, and I need two associates."
Yep. Of course, I don't know why he would need that, to be fair. That doesn't make sense to me, but
I guess just to pull the story along, so.
That's true. This guy he has no friends, is what's really going on. And the closest fucking thing he has is Bulk and Skull.
And he hates them.
And he's like, well, fuck, I no longer have a job. They don't either, though, and it's kind of their fault, so they're going to fucking help me.
Yeah.
Okay.
Then we have number 25, our finale for this pack. Song Sung Yellow. Song Sung Yellow.
Yeah. Tanya and singing.
Yeah, it's pretty much what it is.
Yeah.
Oh. Because she can sing, too.
Well, of course. Yeah.
She knows everything.
I said Prodigy, motherfucker.
Prodigy. I know everything.
She comes from a different time.
Well, maybe
back when people were incredibly intelligent.
On technology they did not have.
But they knew. They knew that they would have it, Shane. That's true. And they were prepared before they had it.
That saves time.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
I'm looking at the time on this thing. It's a wow.
This episode has really run. Yeah. So.
We made
an accident. The last one we did not give a score to because we got confused and was like, have we been given scores to the series? I went and re-listened.
I thought
we have rated every series by part that we have reviewed.
By part?
Except for this last one we did. The last one we did, we just said, watch it, pass on it, yada yada. We have been rating these, so this is supposed to be rated.
Okay.
So, you have some idea. And you have your 10 episodes. Where are you, Shane? Oh, wait, I should probably get this toy. Go ahead.
We were talking about more bad episodes than good.
There's a lot to talk about in this series.
I don't quite know about that. I mean, my mistake. I mean filler, but...
I saw a fire hose horse lick him. There's more bad episodes. I saw fucking water pressure flips. I saw bad acting kids trying to do Thriller.
For the record, I would like that particular audio clip to put on the website, please.
What?
Say it again, Shane. Say it for me.
Fire whore flips. You put me on the spot and I couldn't do it.
That'll work too.
I saw fire whore flips.
Must be playing some weird Persona game there.
I am going to give it a 2.
Oh, no.
I will be nice. A 2.
Now, for me,
I saw him get licked. I saw fire hose flips and kids trying to do Thriller and fire whore flips.
For me.
Oh, shit.
But for this first half, for me first half, there was less filler to me because some of these other filler episodes did have some important stuff.
Yeah, it seemed like they're trying a lot harder to put character development in.
Yeah.
Like I felt like the characters had a little more placement, but I almost wonder if that's only because we've been with them for so long now.
Yeah, I mean, aside from that, there's also kind of some longer arcs too. So I'm going to go a little higher. I'm going to give this a 4.
Okay.
Because it does feel like it's got more story behind it now. You know, some more story plots for different characters, like you said, character development.
Okay, I'm at about a 3.5, and I agree. I think there's a lot more storyline development than what we're used to.
Yeah.
Which is not a bad thing at all.
For something like this, it's much over-needed, so...
I also think that it's important to mention here that... The episodes that are bad, this series is weird.
Yeah, it's like some of the bad ones are during some of the arcs, so...
Yeah, well, here's the thing. It's like almost every episode I watched was bad and good. This is a really tough season, because the same episode that will do something incredibly fucking stupid...
Yeah, even I was having issues watching through this first half.
Like when Billy... Like when the Robot Empire runs out of batteries for their guns, and but at the same time, I was watching that episode and I was like, "Oh shit!" Because it was a pretty good episode. It was like Billy might not come back, and they were right on the edge. And it was pretty good about really putting it out there. And then, then of course, at the end, instead of just fucking doing what they needed to do, they were like, "Tommy, go up there and fucking Dolph Lundgren impression your muscles." And I was like, "Why?" With all the fucking advanced technology that Zordon supposedly has at his fucking fingertips, like, well, at his chin tips, he doesn't fucking have the ability to make that satellite turn. You have to go up there and manually... Why?
Or,
if you are a head in a jar...
Or just teleport him.
Why, if you are a head in a fucking jar, would you create a satellite dish that required a manual fucking lever to operate? And on top of that, like you said, why not just teleport Billy, you dick?
He's got some residual power
he
that
doesn't
he can
even
detect.
Need residual. He has the watch.
Yeah, the communicator.
Billy made the fucking watch.
Yeah, I mean, if he can detect his communicator, it's like, oh, Alpha, teleport him.
Right. You can't tell me that he had the ability to transport the fucking alien rangers but couldn't transport Billy home. Or for that matter, why the blue alien ranger had to fucking come here in the first place. What? Why couldn't he just be transported? Why couldn't he call Zordon and say, hey, shit's going down? And Zordon could have said, well, you help me out. Let me send you 5 rangers.
Yeah, he should have just did that.
Like, unfucking believable. So there's weird things. Like, every episode that's good seems to have really dumb shit happening. And every dumb fucking episode seems to have something decent that happens, at least alongside, like, the music episode with Bulk and Skull. The rest of that episode is fucking awful.
Yeah, there's like, half of it is awful, but the other half isn't.
So I'm kind of, this whole series kind of falls into the normal for me. But it has enough character development that it climbs a little bit. So we are at 3.15 on this series.
On the first half of this series.
On the first half of this series, and wow, was this a long one.
And it's probably going to be long for me to edit, too.
No joke.
Yeah.
We're done here.
Hey, guys, did you like that podcast? If so, remember to check out FandomKnight.com. At FandomKnight.com, you can drop a line to this show, or you could check out other podcasts as well. We cover all kinds of topics, everything from comic books, wrestling, movies, TV shows, video games, animes, mangas. It's outrageous. We seem to have a podcast for just about everything, and you have access to it just by going over to FandomKnight.com. So check it out, guys. We're going to get out of here.